Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Jerome wants to know, do you really risk Keuchel on the spot doing something he's never done when he start game one of the ALCS on regular rest Friday? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because there is no ALCS on Friday if you leave it up to Will Harris.
You throw Will Harris out there or any of the assorted knuckleheads.
Whatever you need to do, you throw it out there. You don't worry about what happens tomorrow, because if you lose, there's no tomorrow.
The catcher goes to throw the ball back to the pitcher. It hits the batter's bat and takes off, and he scores. I mean, it has to be a dead ball, right? Ask Ryan to confirm that for us, because he's also an umpire. What's up, Ryan?
If the batter is sending his arms out and the catcher hits it, they can deem that it's unintentional interference and basically just kill the ball and put the runner back. Once the umpire raises his arms and kills the ball, can runners still advance? Technically, no, but there are some cases where an umpire incorrectly calls time, and then common sense kind of has to prevail.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz.
I can't do that tweet.
Why not?
I just don't want to deal with it while I'm on the air.
Oh, I think it's funny.
I do, too.
Is it a Rangers tweet?
No. See, I was going to do the
Mike. I don't want to deal with the fallback while I'm on air. If this were the night game and I could say it, you know, while I'm not concentrating on the show, it would have been a good joke. But now it's just, it'll be too much for right now.
Well, let me update you on what's going on. It's now 6-3 Toronto after Bautista just roped one three-run shot. He then stood at the plate for a good 2 seconds and did probably the most awesome bat flip ever, which, of course, led to more problems.
Listen, Jose Bautista is a total douchebag.
Of course he is. And this was over the top, but I get their reaction considering what happened earlier in the game.
Yeah. Here's what I say about the whole thing. If you're going to be mad at somebody, be mad at Elvis Andrews. That bat flip should have never happened because you should have been out of the inning.
And they're not out of the inning yet. There's two outs in first and second. They've got back-to-back hits again, and I think you're going to get another pitching change. But 6-3, bottom of the seventh, Blue Jays over the Rangers. Anyway, it is hour number three. If you missed any stuff from the first hour, including our keeping you up to date on what was going on with that game, it's all available on podcastarena.com. Now, I'm curious, John. We can't stream games, but when we drop in games like that during the show, can that be on our podcast?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm just checking. I don't want us to break any more rules. I saw that email we got. Trying to keep us on track here. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. There's also Twitter. There's also Facebook. And there's also a text at 713-780-3776. So, yeah, this is getting ugly. And, of course, they had the bench clearing shove. It's like, yeah, I'm going to push you.
It's the seventh inning, and Batista's going to bat again, and he's going to get drilled.
Yes,
there's zero doubt. And the Rangers, everybody's already prepared for it. The Rangers pitcher, whoever's in, is going to get kicked out of the game. I mean, there's going to be no surprise about it.
Especially if the Jays get a couple more runs and this thing's 8-3 or 9-3, then hell yeah. If it's a 6-5 game, you can't do it. And I don't know that six runs is enough. I mean, the Rangers can score too. So we shall see. That wasn't a bat flip. That was a bat throw.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I also think that's one of those stupid baseball things where people get ticked off over that. You should be excited you hit a home run in that situation. Oh, well.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's excited and then there's what he did, which is just like basically a big giant middle finger.
Yeah, well.
But, listen, no one should be surprised that Joey Bats is a douchebag. I mean, that's nothing new.
Yeah, he's been that way since he's been in the league.
No, he's been that way since he got good. When he was a nobody scrub,
well, he was still a douchebag. He just didn't care because he couldn't do anything.
When he inexplicably turned into a good baseball player,
he started getting that HGH, man.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty crazy. Well, what a game. What a game.
Yep. Mario saying Governor Abbott jinxing the Texas MLB teams. Did he tweet again?
Boy, yeah, that'd be dumb if he did.
Hey, we'll get back to phone calls in just a second, but did you watch any of the Democratic debate last night?
I watched a little bit of it. I didn't watch the whole thing. I didn't want to even talk about it with people on social media today, because what happens after these debates is, after the, you know, whether it's a Republican or Democratic debate, the left and right side, they're all idiots.
Oh,
they all say really dumb things.
Well, they all say, and here's what drives me nuts about it. they all keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. And that's an old debate tactic that somebody in debate school should quit teaching, where you hammer your point home. I've heard the same thing out of everyone. Well, not the other three, because I don't really care about Lincoln Chafee and Mr. Rogers and Dude Who Ordered the Code Red. But between Hillary and Bernie Sanders, I've heard their takes. Quit repeating them. And she's – the other thing that kind of drove me nuts is how the media was just fawning all over her and what a great job she did. How many of these debates has she done? So remember, Obama beat her ass 8 years ago, and she
thought it was a lock back then.
And she asks all the questions. She practices, and old man Bernie just goes out there and talks. And
Bernie looks like he spent about $300 on clothes in the last 10 years.
Oh yeah,
like that's it. That is the most frugal dude when it comes to wardrobe ever.
Yeah,
and hair product, $0 on hair product.
No, and. Dude just looks, you know what he looks like? Remember that second Poltergeist with the preacher?
Yeah.
The creepy preacher.
A little bit.
Put a black hat on that guy. That's it. So.
Oh.
What do we got here? Just tap two little.
Just talking. Just a bunch of posturing. Baseball stuff.
Come on, dude. I like the idea of let's have MMA fighters.
At least one.
Exactly. Just beat up the baseball players. Well, the thing that I kind of like, did you see what your boy Huckabee was tweeting out during the debates?
Yeah. Mike Huckabee's trying way too hard to be Donald Trump. What is going on with this?
He should be.
You should be offended, Jong, by what he said. Are you really upset about that?
I didn't see what he said.
Mike Huckabee tweeted last night. Did he delete the tweet?
Yes, he did.
What a dick. Oh, sorry, Jong.
That's okay.
You can refer to him as a dick that way, but you can't refer to it as a penis.
Okay. Then what a dick. I mean, this guy who, I guess he finally deleted. It makes me mad when you delete tweets. If you're gonna make the joke, make the joke. What he said was, I trust Bernie Sanders with my tax dollars like I trust a North Korean chef with my Labrador. And let's face it, Mike Huckabee didn't have a chance in hell of winning this thing.
No.
But now he's even too racist for Republicans. He's like, we better back away from this guy.
And he stirred things up before that with the Black Lives Matter tweets. Did you see those? Yeah, he said Black Lives Matter because all lives matter. Haven't we learned from history? All lives matter. It's time we stop burning cars, shooting cops, and recognize that life is a gift from God. Okay. And racism exists because we have a sin problem in America, not a skin problem.
All right.
Well played, I guess. Anyway, that was the most entertaining part. I didn't pay any attention to Trump's tweets last night because I figured anybody that I knew that thought they were funny was going to retweet them. But
I went and started up a tattoo last night.
Yeah, it looks pretty
cool.
That's
why I didn't get to finish the whole debate. I decided that was more important.
You didn't miss much at all.
The reality is I already know who's going to win the nomination.
Yeah. And the only thing about it that it was more disorganized with five people than the Republican debates were with 11. Because they kept talking and they wouldn't. And I'm telling you, you want to solve these debate problems, you get that microphone button. And when their time's up, you push the button, their microphone's off. Because that's all that that web guy kept going. He's like, well, I haven't talked for 10 minutes. He's been 10 minutes complaining about not talking.
By the way, I mean,
my enemy, I was in Vietnam. Yeah, okay, great.
This is what Hillary and Bernie Sanders must feel like when those other people are talking. It's got to be like when Barry Bonds is at a bar and someone walks up to him and talks about the time he hit 2 home runs in a beer league softball game. And Barry's just like nodding and like pretending like he's interested, but he knows it doesn't matter and he really doesn't give a damn. But he's, you know, he's being polite and acting like, you know, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, we're the same pretty much then, right? It's just a silly thing that those people are even on the stage because, most people didn't even know who they were before last night.
I didn't. I mean, I knew Lincoln Chafee because he's been a guest on a bunch of shows that I've watched and I haven't been all that impressed with him. The Baltimore guy just creeped me out. He looked like Mr. Rogers. He just kept expecting, saying, we can save this country. You know that we can.
We can make America great again.
Can you say great? I knew that you could. Okay, we're probably dating her. I'm dating myself with Mr. Rogers references.
I knew Mr. Rogers, so
did
it's
you?
All right. Yeah.
Had the little train.
Yeah, there's the new Mr. Like, it's called Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood now.
Oh, yeah?
And it's basically the same thing, except, like, it's a got cartoon characters instead of Mr. Rogers. It's like a cartoon cat, which throws me off. I don't understand why.
That would freak me out a little bit because, it was creepy enough seeing a guy in slippers walk in singing about his neighborhood.
Yeah.
But... yeah, that was my youth. I was watching crap like that.
And you know how I'm getting old? I know who Daniel Tiger is because the girlfriend has an older brother my age, has two kids who love Daniel Tiger.
Yeah. Tell him Daniel Tiger's stupid. It's no Mr. Rogers. I can tell you that much.
I don't know what Mike Huckabee would say about that.
Did you guys see Kurt Schilling's tweet? Apparently, Donald Trump said, who's winning the debate so far? And Kurt Schilling replied to him and said, ISIS.
God.
All right, Kurt. How about this, Kurt? Never mind.
There's one other thing that irritated me about that is afterwards the media said, they were so much more respectful of each other than the Republican debate. And like, no, they weren't. Did you watch the first 10 minutes of that? They were chewing into each other. That's one of those media creation things.
Kurt Schilling's got a couple sons. He should go ahead and sign them up now and let them go fight ISIS because that's a big concern. You're gonna beat your chest about going and starting another war. You should automatically have your children signed up for the war.
I wish people actually had a clue what the hell is going on over there. You know we have no business in that place, but I'm not beating my head against the wall over that. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Quick update for you. Top half of the eighth, the Rangers have two on, one out, runners at first and second. And so the tying run is at the plate. It's Josh Hamilton, but the Jays not messing around. They bring in Roberto Osuna, who I think is 15 years old, but has pitched like a veteran here down the stretch and really solidified their bullpen. So anyway, let's take a phone call.
All right.
Nick, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
What are the odds that Blake Bortles starts Sunday, even with that hurt shoulder?
It's a good question. I mean, from what I understand, he's going to be a game-time decision. As well as he's played, I'm sure the Jags want him out there. They probably feel like they actually need him out there.
Latest update is he was doing a lot better today, so I would say 70% that he's out there. And it doesn't appear to be that serious of an injury. It's just one of those you don't practice, and then when you get a chance, you play the game. And if he's not right, they've got a pretty decent backup there. If you're a Texans fan, you can't feel good about this game, can you?
If you're a Texans fan, you shouldn't feel good about anything.
I mean, I would have never thought they could they'd be in a position where, I mean, it's probably more likely they lose to Jacksonville than beat them, assuming Bortles plays.
Right.
Would not have guessed that before the beginning. This is one of those you would have just put the check mark by. Now, it's not going to surprise me if their defense finally wakes up, forces a bunch of turnovers, and they play just well enough on offense to go ahead and win the game. And, you know, especially now, it's almost like, I don't want to say the pressure's off. Yeah, they could still theoretically get back in the race, but after you lost that game, it's like, okay, we can just tee it high and let it fly now, right, theoretically, because we lose now, big deal.
Yeah.
So I expect to see them come out and play well, but I'm not going to be shocked at all. I did my ranting about them yesterday.
Listen, if they lose this game, how much are you really going to care for the rest of the season?
About them?
Yeah.
Wow. I never would have thought the game would be a pick 'em before the season.
Is that what it is right now?
Yeah, it's a pick 'em. No, I mean, there's nothing to care about. I'm not sure there's anything left to care about now. If they go 3-3 or 3-0 during the stretch, and get the 4-4 and everybody's all excited again, just like they were after they lost the Buck or they beat the Bucks. It doesn't mean anything. It means they beat three teams that are down there in the mire with them. And unless there's some, I mean, incredible light coming on over the second half of the season when suddenly your schedule starts, you start playing Bengals and a Jets team that's better than you think and a Buffalo team that's better than you. Not to mention you have to go to Indy, and it doesn't matter if Jong plays quarterback. If you have to go to Indy, you're going to lose because you can't beat them without luck here. I just don't see much hope for this team. None at all. Have you looked at any of these lines yet?
I haven't looked at much. I mean, not NFL, anyway.
I hadn't really either. Jets minus -6 at home against the Redskins.
I like the Jets. Coming off a bye week, too.
Yeah, I do, too, especially inside of a touchdown.
Yeah.
But how did we do on our picks last week, John? Have you added them up yet?
No, I've been so busy that...
Okay. I was either 3-3 or 3-2-1. But I was 2-0 on real bets.
How about Buffalo plus +3.5 at home against Cincinnati?
Give me that. Give me all of that.
Even with EJ Manuel?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think Cincinnati's a lot better than we're giving them credit for. And that was a big win last week, but that was also a big emotional win at home. I could see them going in there starting to think, oh, we got this. And Buffalo's no joke on defense.
Am I dumb to keep...
Now Taylor being out scares me a little if he doesn't play.
Am I dumb to keep riding the Bears train? Chicago plus +3 at Detroit.
No. We've been pounding that Bears train the last 2 weeks. I'm disappointed as for not going money line.
Arizona minus -4 at Pittsburgh.
I think I might go Steeler there.
Really?
I'm seeing that at 3.
Okay.
Not at 3, I wouldn't. 4, I would.
Let's see. Oh, San Diego plus +11 at the Packers. I feel like I say this every week. I won't bet against the Packers at home, but every week I'm tempted because they're
always
double-digit favorites.
And it's always a team that you look at and you say, oh, man, they're not that worse.
Right, and it's obviously an overreaction number because the Chargers just choked away a win and a cover against the Steelers.
Yeah, right now I think Packers at home and Patriots anywhere, it doesn't matter what the number is.
Yeah.
I'm just going to ride that puppy.
How about Ravens minus -2.5 at 49er?
I just don't think either one of those teams are very good. And I think the Ravens are better, but...
Niners got their cover last week. That was their bounce back.
Yeah, probably so. I couldn't, in good conscience, bet the Ravens at anything right now.
And how about this one? Giants plus +4 at the Eagles.
Give me the Giants.
Give me them, too.
Give me the Giants all day there. The hell? I guess that's an overreaction, too.
Thursday night game, Atlanta minus -4.5 at Saints.
I'm seeing 4.5 on the Giants. Hmm. I may have to excuse me while I punch my virtual ticket right on that. Falcons 3.5 on Saints is what I'm seeing. I don't know, man. That's one of those. The Saints were so bad. For that to only be 3.5, they're begging you to bet on the Falcons.
Yep.
And
I don't like to bet on the Falcons on the road, but
it's tempting.
I'm also not in a spot where I'm betting on the Saints at home either.
You know what I'd prefer? The over 52.
I could see that.
Yeah, I think that's the direction I would go there.
Although I think eventually Devontae Freeman's going to stop this nonsense that he's doing.
Yeah, but it's also against the Saints defense.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Whoever they put back there is going to run for 110 yards. So they'll put up some points in that one. Let's try Matt. What's up, Matt? Matt? I guess your keyboard, Matt. Oh, well. And Osuna is out of the eighth. So we head to the bottom of the eighth. J6-3.
Yeah. Blue Jays fans threw a beer on a baby, by the way.
Man, I got to tell you.
Shame.
I spent a lot of time up there, and I have a lot of Canadian friends, and they're, for the most part, wonderful people. But when it comes to sports...
They don't know how to act.
They do not know how to act. And it goes back to when they rioted in Vancouver. Some of the stuff they do at hockey games is just ridiculous. And the way... And I get why they got upset there, but you can't act. You can't throw a beer on a baby. Come on, man. First off, don't waste the beer.
Yeah.
Of course, it's Canadian beer, so it's probably not that good. That's the old John Candy line from Canadian Bacon. They all start trying to beat him up. Oh, you didn't say that, eh? You're getting divorced for sure now.
And it's not like it was the ninth inning anyway. It was like the seventh inning.
No, I get that people... I get that people are going to be upset and react to things, but you cannot. There are ways to act at sporting events. And I, you know, we all get frustrated. If you're passionate, you're going to get frustrated and ticked off about something. But you don't throw beer. You don't throw crap on the field. I can't. And, well, of course, now I'm going to make you mad because I you don't rush the field when your team wins either, which you did and I didn't, but I'm old. But you can express your displeasure without throwing stuff.
Yeah.
Especially in a stadium. If you're throwing something, there's a good chance it's going to land on somebody other than the field. So people need to behave. Anyway. Going to take a quick break. A lot more to go. We'll let you know what happens in this game, and you can hear the Astros right here on ESPN 97.5, top of the hour. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. We are on to the top of the ninth in Toronto. Still 6-3. Must be nice to have a closer that you can feel good about using for more than one inning.
Yeah.
Just saying. Somebody on Twitter was asking about what do you think of Penn State plus 17. Haven't officially done the numbers on that, but I don't mind that. Penn State has been pretty solid. Ohio State hasn't blown anybody away. Now, I know Penn State hasn't really beaten anybody by much, but a lot of people jumped off that bandwagon when they got blown out by Temple. First game of the season, and Temple's not bad.
So. I like under 47 more.
Don't mind that.
And I wouldn't have thought I'd be playing a lot of under 47s with Ohio State's offense coming into the year, but, man, they are.
Even with the quarterback mess, I think that 9.5 seems a lot for LSU and Florida. I know it's at LSU, but I don't think I can pull the trigger on that. But I was just kind of scouting for a few games. And our A&M getting 4.5 against Bama at Kyle Field, I don't mind that at all. That's a pretty good number.
Yeah.
And I also don't mind West Virginia getting 21.5 against Baylor. I think they can keep it within three scores.
Where's that game at?
It's at Waco. Yeah. I'd feel better if it were at West Virginia. I'm probably not touching that one either. There's a couple other games that interest me that we'll get to.
But sadly, that's probably the best team Baylor will have played to date.
Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about that. All right, let's grab a phone call. Troy, you're on the Blitz. Go. Troy?
Yes, sir.
Hey, sports, man.
Sports. What are the odds that the Texans come in dead last and take a quarterback in the first round?
Did both of those things happen?
There's some... If you've been watching the NFL this year, there are some truly crappy teams besides the Texans. I still think the odds are pretty low that they wind up with the worst team in football. I think they're going to be right
top
now.
Five.
Right now, they look like they've got a top 3-5 pick. But
you know what? And I've said it several times. There's not a quarterback in this draft that I love.
Especially
one in the top five.
Jared Goff is a guy that I like the best, but you know how that offense scares me.
Yeah.
And it's almost, you almost never succeed coming out of that damn air raid in the NFL. Now, he's a different kind of cat, and he's got all the things I look for, but that's the guy I like. What would concern me is they wind up with a high pick and they just default draft Christian Hackenberg, in which case everybody in this entire franchise should just disappear. So,
yeah, I like Goff a lot as a college quarterback. I just don't know that he necessarily...
A little skinny for the NFL. He's going to have to put on some body weight. He's got a terrific arm. He throws a nice ball. He makes good decisions. But...
Well, and in the biggest game this year, he threw 5 interceptions.
He did.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's hard to ignore. That dude, he single-handedly lost the Utah game because he gave them the ball 5 times.
He did, but I'm going to give Utah a lot of credit for that, too. That's a pretty good defense. And You know, at least one of those wasn't on him. But I like what I've seen.
Five. I mean, even if one of them wasn't, that's still a crap game.
Yeah, it is a crap game. But, you know, a lot of guys have bad games like that.
Yeah.
Especially when you're playing teams that are – the thing is they hung in there. Utah's a hell of a lot better than Cal. Cal's a good team, but Utah's considerably better.
Listen, I like I said, Goff to me as a college quarterback, I like him a lot. I just don't know how I feel about it. First of all, I don't like NFL quarterbacks who have never taken snaps in college from under center. I don't like having to teach them how to play NFL football.
Well, the truth is you have to teach all of them NFL football because not very many teams are running pro set offenses anymore. Everybody's doing some variation. But that offense.
But you like to be able to at least, you know.
Well, occasionally, yeah. You like to see him be able to run it. But that offense in particular, which is basically Baylor, Tech.
Right.
Nobody has succeeded coming out of that as a quarterback in the NFL. That concerns the hell out of me.
Yep.
And, yeah, he puts up terrific numbers. But I try not to look at those quarterbacks. I try not to look at numbers. I try to look at how many times they actually have to go to their second or third receiver when they actually have to read defenses. Well, they don't have to.
No.
So, by the way. They just tweeted this out.
Who's they?
This weather guy from KPRC. It's 92 degrees at Bush Airport. Record highs.
Man, it's like the middle of October. Stop that.
Where we are, it's 90. 86 at Galveston, which is also a record high. All right, am I looking at the calendar right? It is October the 14th, right?
Yeah.
The week after Texas 14. OU when it's always supposed to cool off. That's always my measuring stick.
That's Texas the official start of fall?
Yes, the official start of fall. What the hell is it doing 90 degrees? Is there no relief in sight? Joshua says, now wait for the reactionary Rodgers came from Cal drill. But Rodgers also came out of an offense. It's not the same offense. It was the Tedford offense. But there was a reason teams passed on him is because all the guys that came out of that failed too. It was Kyle Bowler and Joey Harrington came out of that offense. Kelly Smith. And Rodgers was the best of those guys, but there was a reason the teams were a little scared of that. It's like, okay, they're system guys. And I kind of said this about Mariota last year. Yeah, he's a system guy, but I think he's better than that.
Right.
And that's why I would have taken him over Winston. And we'll see how that plays out. I kind of feel the same way about Goff. I'm just a little bit scared.
I mean, when you compare him to the other things that are out there, I'm not going to fight for Connor Cook over Jared Goff because no. I don't think Connor Cook's going to be a great NFL quarterback.
Connor Cook plays the closest thing to an NFL offense that any of these guys do.
But I'm starting to worry that Connor Cook is Kirk Cousins, and that isn't good enough. You know, and I know I'm a sucker for it, and I would never take him, but I like watching Cody Kessler, but he's 6'1". I don't want that guy as an NFL quarterback.
With a drunk coach?
Yeah, I like his game, but I'm not taking him. Same with Trayvon Boykin. Dude's tiny. You know, there's no one out there. Cardale Jones, I'm out on. You know?
Everybody's trying to judge him on a 3-game body of work. Where,
yeah.
And
now we've seen a lot more of him, and not that impressive.
No, he's not.
So It is a bad year to need a quarterback and have a high draft pick.
Yeah,
because I don't think there's a lot out there that you could be really excited about.
No, but at some point, don't you have to invest?
You do,
and I think there were options last year. Yeah, it was a foul ball, one out in the ninth. There were options there last year that you could have at least taken a chance on. And we beat that to death, too, and I don't want to get back into it with Derek Carr and Teddy Bridgewater.
I'll get into it every week after the game. I'll let everybody know.
I don't know that I like any of these kids as much as I liked Bridgewater.
Yeah.
And so at that point, now they might develop into something.
And I'm not saying that, and I said last year Derek Carr was the guy that I liked. And I'm not saying that I think Derek Carr was better than Winston or Mariota. I just think for where
you're
picking,
yeah.
I'd much rather have Derek Carr with a second round tag than either of those guys with the number one or two tag.
But you always have to overpay, though.
You do. Just, And that's, I guess that's part of the, that's part of the game. I just don't, I don't want to be the team that has to do that. But I mean, but it, on the other hand, I complain and bitch about the Texans not investing in that position. They have to at some point. I just think that it's unfortunate that this is the year.
Right.
You know, and whatever, well, whatever I think about all four of those guys, Winston, Mariota, Bridgewater, Carr, I'd take any one of those guys over Jared Goff. Any one of them.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. You know what? I'll even go Blake Bortles over that.
Yeah.
And I was pretty high on Bryce Petty until I'm, the more I see how these guys don't translate to the NFL.
No.
And somebody asked about, what about Baker Mayfield? Well, guess what offense he's running now? The Texas Tech offense. No thanks. I just don't think you learn how to play quarterback. You put up a lot of numbers. You always have wide open receivers. So if you have even a little bit shaky accuracy, it's hidden. And there's so many short passes out of there. Now, as a college quarterback, I love it. But for the NFL, man, you got to hit those tight windows. And it's so much more difficult. And it just doesn't translate. We have not seen it translate with anybody.
A couple people on Twitter talking about Patrick Toles.
He's got the body I like. He's,
you know who he reminds me of? And this isn't, I'm
not a compliment.
It's, I mean, it's not. And maybe he plays another year, and maybe I'll come around on him more. But he reminds me of Sean Mannion. And
yeah,
I think, no thanks.
Yeah, it's. I mean, he might be a little better than that, but Mannion,
for a guy his size, he doesn't have a great arm. He's not super accurate. But he can scramble a little bit.
Okay.
And he's got good size.
He also has very good pocket presence, which is one of those things you can't teach. But I don't know if he has the arm for that.
I think
size.
He also takes off before he needs to.
Yeah.
Well, and in the NFL, I want you to scan every option before you take off running, because otherwise you're going to end up hurt. And
yeah, we've seen it happen.
You see it happen with every scrambling quarterback at some point.
Hmm.
There's just no one in this draft that I'm like, yeah. This is a guy I really want to tie my franchise to. That I'm not saying they shouldn't draft one, but I'm just saying I'm not excited to be the guy who has to write that name down on the card.
Let me, before we get into the whole when you draft a quarterback thing again, would you feel better about those guys if you're drafting them 16th or 19th as opposed to 1st or 4th?
I'd feel a lot better if I was drafting them 33rd.
Yeah, but you're not going to have that option. That's not realistic. I mean, you're going to have to draft
one of those guys is going to be available in the second round.
Yeah, but if you really like Hackenberg or whomever, and you think that's the best guy, you can't wait till the second round.
Well, Fred, if you really like Hackenberg, we fundamentally disagree.
Because I don't.
So if O'Brien likes Hackenberg, then that's on him.
You're missing the point, though. This is more of a philosophical thing. You're saying, I don't want to waste a one or a two pick on Mariota or Winston. Are you okay with 15 or 16, knowing that 33 is unrealistic for a quarterback?
It doesn't matter as much as it used to. You remember, you know, back in the day, Jamarcus Russell days, it mattered a lot because the difference in money between 1 and 16 was insane. Now it doesn't matter as much. But you pick where you pick, you know?
Yeah.
Would I rather trade down and have somebody else to go along with it?
Jays win 6-3, by the way. It looks a lot worse when you bust on the first pick than it does with Brandon Weeden at 22, Johnny Manziel at 22.
It's almost acceptable.
Brady Quinn at 22.
It's acceptable to people to bust there. Yeah. It's never acceptable to bust with the first pick.
But if you hit with Ben Roethlisberger at, what was it? Was he 11 or 14? I don't remember. Joe Flacco, who was later in the first round.
No.
That's acceptable, right?
Yeah.
And if those guys become Kyle Bowler, well, that's okay.
Well, yeah, that's why people, David Carr, if David Carr went 23rd, people wouldn't talk about him like they do.
No.
I mean, J.P. Lossman went in the first round. He was a bum, and, you know, it's no big deal.
Nobody mentions J.P. Lossman.
Yeah. And the Bills traded up in the first round to get that guy. Yeah. So, I mean, it's...
Because your hit rate on other positions goes down at that point, too.
Right.
So it's not as... It's certainly not as punitive.
All right. Going to tell you about Sports Manias. It's fantasy season. And it's an app that's going to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Sports Manias. Go to the App Store. The app is free. Just search for Sports Manias, one word, and it'll give you a leg up on your competition, guys. You import your fantasy team from ESPN, Yahoo, CBS, and you'll get personalized feeds from fantasy football experts, including breaking news, scoring opportunities, fantasy points, milestones, real-time updates on your players and just your players, so you don't have to sift through everybody else's raggedy teams. It's going to help you make smarter lineup decisions. I've been using this app to help me with my ESPN league, my Yahoo league, CBS league. It's great for me because I can import all my teams into there, and it's all in one feed. So I'm not having to go through each app and see what guys I have on this team. An added bonus, you'll get an alert every time your players are in the red zone. It's a brand new fantasy tool, gives you an edge to help dominate your league. So get on your cell or tablet now, go to the App Store, and download Sports Manias for free. That's one word at the App Store, Sports Manias.
Hey, before we go to break, you need to get lined up for Moron of the Week. Caller 10, 11, and 12 at 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You're going to play Moron of the Week. You're playing for Dynamo tickets today. Now we'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. And we are back on the Blitz. And one last segment. We're about to play Moron of the Week. But first, I have to tell you, join A.J. Hoffman Saturday for a college game day party presented by Coors Light at Luke's Ice House. Our feature game of the day is Alabama versus Arkansas. Meet us on the deck at 2:30 for the kickoff. Catch a cold silver bullet with us and register to win tickets to see Texas take on Kansas State with a free night stay at Red Roof Inn, courtesy of ESPN 97.5 and Coors Light. Also remind you that Major League Baseball coverage, Astros and Royals, both teams are playing, Astros and Royals, tonight at 7 o'clock right here on the station. And I do want to say that kind of, I don't want to say snotty Rangers fan that called in and was talking about, would you start Keuchel in game one because he got beat up by the Rangers last time? Don't have to worry about that. Not.
Shame.
You won't have to worry about facing Dallas Keuchel in game one. Sorry. All right, here we go. Here are your morons of the week. Very simple. Todd, you get moron number one, which we're going to call Fear the Beards. Francisco gets moron number two, which goes to why did this never happen when I was in high school? And Jesus or Jesus, who always seems to get moron number three, if it's the same person, which it usually is. I'm going to go with Jesus because I know Jesus listens to the show and he loves it. He gets moron number three, which we're going to call Dog Day Afternoon. First off, we start off with Fear the Beards from Kissimmee, Florida, of course. Did you want to say something, John? Sorry. Am I supposed to tell them what they're playing for? Yeah, my bad. Dynamo versus Seattle Sounders tickets Sunday, October 18th. Last game of the season. Kickoff is at 4 p.m. at BBVA Compass Stadium. Special offers for Saturday's game are now available. Get your tickets now. Log on to HoustonDynamo.com and go Orange. Two of you win tickets. One of you gets nothing. I meant to give one of those away earlier, so here we go. A Florida man and Florida woman are accused of neglect and battery of a person over 65. Raymond Sutherland, who is 56, and his wife Debbie, 54, were arrested Monday by Osceola County Sheriff's deputies for the alleged abuse of Sutherland's 81-year-old mother. She's currently in critical condition. The victim told deputies she'd fallen in her bedroom and asked her son on several times for assistance. She said she then lost consciousness, woke up in a pool of her own blood. She was not taken to a hospital for treatment. Well, it gets funny. Until her son called an ambulance after some time. At the hospital, doctors told investigators the victim's injuries were not consistent with a fall, but from abuse. The bad part is the picture of both of these, the man and the woman, they both have beards.
Oh, no.
Yes. That's why it's Fear the Beards. So, it's your elderly abuse thing with a bearded woman and a man who's got his ZZ Top beard. Mm. So that's what makes it, special. So that's moron number one, playing for Todd. Moron number two, playing for Francisco. Why did this never happen while I was in high school? Apparently in Los Angeles, the movie companies will pay you to record movies at their places. And sometimes you do it at a high school, right? Like, think about all the great high school movies we've seen. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Well, Revenge of the Petites was not Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Or The Breakfast Club, no. Yeah. Revenge of the Petites was a porn movie.
Oh, nice.
Apparently, the Los Angeles Unified School District has suspended all filming at its district schools because of this. The outlet reported the film's producers paid cash in order to film at Alexander Hamilton on two Saturdays in October 2011. The footage included a nude car wash scene in the front parking lot of the school. The officials...
How petite are we talking?
Well, I
I want to hold out judgment until I hear how petite.
Just looking at the picture that's kind of shaded out there, not so petite. Anyway, the district has made about $10 million from filming permits over the past 5 years. But they were misled about the film's illicit nature and would not have granted permission if they'd known it was pornographic. Okay, real quickly, the last one. A DUI suspect was pulled over in Bradenton in Manatee County, Florida. He was caught speeding around 7:45 p.m. He allegedly fled, ran a stop sign, drove through two ditches, then blamed it on the dog. Said, I wasn't driving the car. My dog was driving the car. Okay, so.
3-2-1.
John?
Yeah, 3-2-1.
3-2-1? All right, congratulations.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. And Francisco, you guys win Dynamo tickets. That's going to wrap it up. Astros coming up next. We'll be back here tomorrow to wrap up whatever happens tonight. John Lee, great job. AJ Hoffman, great job. Me, okay. Till tomorrow, stay sportsy, bitches.